Hey guys, this is Ricky Midnight with the conclusion of the podcast you heard Thursday.
This is the uncensored voice. No bullshit, just real shit.
Discussing things that will stir the pot. Only here on the uncensored voice.
With your host, Ricky Midnight.
Make sure money's not wasted like that $55 million.
And it stuck with me because one of my old dispatchers actually contacted me via Facebook, and she said, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I just found it, because they all live in Bastrop, right, where I was. And she was like, I just wanted to let you know that Ray, you know, Ray passed away. And I'm like, what? You know, and, but, you know, that accident, he never recovered from. And so it's, do I still think about it? Yes, because it was absolute PTSD for me. It was even worse because the motherfucker that hit him, we stopped him. We got him stopped. DPS was out there. County was out there. Everybody was out there. We got him stopped. And at that agency, we took our patrol cars home. We were issued a patrol car. And so I would park my car at my place. And so they put this motherfucker in the back of my car because he was obviously under arrest. They'd already done, you know, the sobriety tests. And so he was in the car, and during this time, a bunch of shit erupted because they knew that every officer was down there, right? So we had overflow housing project, you know, housing, three of them in that city. And as soon as everybody in that city has a scanner, they all know the cops are all in one place. And as soon as it happened, they had sent another officer out on a disturbance call, and the helicopters were landing to pick Ray up and take him to BRAC, right? And I had my shoulder mic on because I was in civilian clothes, but I had pinned it to my collar because I ran from my house as soon as I heard that he was hit, right? And the chief called everybody in. And so I heard the dispatcher dispatch him, and I heard the officer get there. And then I heard the officer, after he got there, I heard him, he's on the radio screaming, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to get, you know, get help. And they, you know, the only officers that were available to go back this guy up is me and one other, the school resource officer. And so I'm yanking this son of a bitch out of my car because I can't take him anywhere, right? So I'm screaming for the corporal, get over here and get this fucker, right? So I'm throwing him out, and we lift the, because we're all in the crime scene, you know, area. And I take off, and the other guy takes off, you know, and we're going to go to this guy. And when we get there, this, he's probably 250-pound, no shirt on, completely soaking ass wet because it's 100 degrees outside even at night. And he's high on meth, and he's out, you know, had been drinking. And he has the officer like this, and the officer that he's got is about 120 pounds, and he's about 5'4", right? Mm-hmm. He's got this officer in a headlock, and he's trying to strangle him out, and he's holding him with one arm, and he's actually trying to reach around and grab his gun. Yeah. But the officer's already bleeding because he had hit him in the face. His glasses went into his cheeks, and he's already bleeding. And so we're trying to get this guy down, but he has superhuman strength, right? Mm-hmm. And so the guy that was with me, that officer, he right into him, right, head first, try to knock this guy down. He won't go down. So this officer's pulling his head this way, right, to try to bring him forward. And I finally got on the back of his knee, right on the back of his knee, like both of my feet. Mm-hmm. And he went, you know, his knees buckled, and he went down. And that officer, he was face down, and that officer had him in a headlock, and he couldn't let go. So I'm on his back trying to cuff him, and I get one hand, and I turn because he's trying to wrap his legs around me now. And when I turn, he kicks me right in the mouth with a fucking boot, and he actually screwed up my teeth. But those kinds of things you don't forget, right? And you have to live with working with that every day. And a lot of things, like I can just talk, and I know he can, about every single day there's like some bullshit that people do to each other. But you either learn how to deal with the job that you're in and process it in a healthy way, or you have to find another job. And so while I'm a proponent for trauma-informed care, because I think that there is something there that needs to be addressed, if you constantly have a problem with trauma, your city, your boss needs to either say, you need to start seeing a psychiatrist so that you can actually process whatever's happening that's making you do this, or you need to look for another job. That's
so,
my...
Okay, so we've been talking about this one thing for a while now. So from what I see is both of you think cry rooms are process rooms, is that what you call them, whatever.
Yeah.
They're both a good thing. And now that I've talked to you, this is why I want to talk to you about it, I think, yeah, it's probably a good thing. It can be abused just like everything else. Millennials are probably the worst at abusing stuff. I can say that I've seen them get up and walk out, leave me as a police officer in dispatch to do their job. I wasn't even a dispatcher. I was left to do their job because they walked out, and we didn't have a cry room there in dispatch. They walked out, sat out there in the field, or leaned on a post and vomited several times, just whatever it is. And this happened on a fairly regular basis. You know, I used to see this.
If they get up and walk out, they need to find a new job.
I agree 100%. And after the third or fourth incident from the two in question, I actually called the deputy chief and I said, hey, look, they need to go work someplace else.
Yeah.
I'm not a dispatcher. I shouldn't even be left alone in dispatch to do their job for them. And this is what's happening. It's like,
Ms. Bachelor's degree needs to understand that education does not equal intelligence.
Yes, bachelor's degree.
And dispatchers also need to take into account what they're getting, okay?
Yeah.
For example, they get a call where two people are arguing. Mm-hmm. Is that actually family violence, or is it just a disturbance where they're arguing? Mm-hmm. It kind of goes into training. So they need more training.
And maybe up front, they need to be... do you remember when you were at the law enforcement academy, did they show you like videos of officers that go out and get shot?
Yeah,
so
I thought a veteran.
They do that on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So they show up like the DPS trooper like the constable, the old constable guy that, they shot him on the side of the road. Okay, so there's reasons why officers see that stuff while you're in the academy. Mm-hmm. Because you need to know what you're getting your ass into, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe that's the same. When we expect people to support law enforcement, that needs to be... the bar. That needs to be the bar.
Yes.
You need to see, put that dispatch call on where that officer gets shot. Let's see how you handle that.
I don't know
that.
If the dispatchers see these videos.
They don't.
And they should. They should. They should show these dispatchers these videos and tell them this is what, just like you said, this is what you need to expect.
They need to understand why it's so important that they do what they do. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why it's important that they officers keep their make the ass best dispatchers.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that.
I sat there
a lot of the retired SAPD guys would go in to be dispatchers, and people that was a thing for them. Like even at the county, a lot of the retired county officers would become dispatchers because the best dispatcher is a policeman. Mm-hmm. You know already, especially if you work for the same agency you work for, right? Mm-hmm. So if you patrolled these San Antonio streets and now you're let's say you were on the west side of San Antonio when you were on patrol. When you retire, you probably want to be a dispatcher on the west side because you know what the problems are and you know how long it takes to get here or there. And you're familiar with it. But I think that, we have to be able to employ people to do these jobs and we have to, have that available manpower. And sometimes doing that means having to create methods to help people learn to cope with the job that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that should be something that is the norm because I feel like if you tell them up front what they're getting into and they're forced to watch these videos like we were, if you do this, you're going to die. If you do this, you're going to get shot. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why they show police officers that. So you can see that you have a split second to make a life or death decision. You have, and I cannot say that enough. I mean, of all people, you can't, Monday night quarterback over here, right, in the chair and go, well, I would have done this. And I would have, there isn't an opportunity to do that. You have a second to make that decision and react. And the job that you do, like I said before, you don't work at Walmart where if you make a mistake, you come in tomorrow and you fix it. Mm-hmm. You work at a place where if you make a mistake, people die or you die. Mm-hmm. And so There has to be a minimum standard of training for somebody who does that job, and there has to be a minimum expectation of the individual doing that job. And that's where that's going to be. And you still need to support them. Officers still need to talk. Officers still go through divorces. They have to handle their own personal life and go out on the street and handle that shit, everyone else's personal life. You know, because we're Hispanic. I mean, I can only imagine what being on, if you, you know, if people were on duty today on Easter, we all beat the shit out of each other because we get drunk and we go to our cousin's house and we forgot we had beef with that deal and this one. And then we're stupid, you know. And so I feel like there has to be. There has to be rules. There have to be standards, minimum standards of minimum expectations of the employee doing that job. And there has to be a minimum standard that dispatchers need to meet to be a dispatcher. Yeah. And part of that needs to be exposed to the actual things that happen.
I think the deputy, when I first started there in dispatch, I think the deputy chief, and he had retired, and we had a different deputy chief by the time I told you, like I said, I called him and said, hey, look, this can't happen anymore, you know. But it was a different deputy chief who was in charge at the time. And I think his expectation for a dispatcher was being able to type quickly, being able to speak clearly on the radio, and being able to use TLETs. I think that was his requirement. That's okay.
That's a minimum standard.
That's a minimum. You should be able to, again, like what we're talking about, you should be able to handle these calls. You can't just get up, drop the phone receiver, and walk away. That is not the way to handle these calls. That, to me, is the highest priority, being able to have a grow a pair, let them descend, and do your freaking job.
Yeah.
Then you can go cry afterwards. You know, I mean, you've seen it. I don't know if you've seen the show 911 or whatever. But, you know, they handle a call, and as soon as they're done, you know, they run off and cry. Or the guides run off and punch the wall or whatever it is. Do that afterwards. Do your job first.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why when I saw them bringing in these pods, and they weren't in dispatch. These pods were in the main building there off of Alamo Street downtown. Has nothing to do with police or dispatch.
Yeah.
These are the people who are working in the administration offices. And I'm like, why are they bringing in these cry pods for them? What is the hardest thing? Getting a paper cut? I mean, what is the hardest part of their job?
See, I know that they have been introduced before, and this probably needs to be like our podcast, the whole podcast, because there's so much to open up about this or unpack about it. But those kinds of processing rooms or safe spaces, what we call them, those are an idea like for students, right? So they have been using those on a university level for quite some time, where students may feel overwhelmed or they, you know, for whatever reason are having a hard time, they're having issues, they don't feel, you know, maybe they're coming out, maybe it's their opportunity to decide what their letter is, right? Their alphabet letter. But those kinds of things are always and have always been like a component of good mental health, of having these safe spaces for these people to go when they feel, you know, a certain way. And to process whatever emotion comes with that, right? Because we're all about processing, right? What I saw recently, because that was historically is what we've been trying to do. What I've been seeing these spaces being utilized for recently was as places for specific letters. Okay. And so that's not what the intention was. The intention was for any person to be able to go in and process and that kind of thing. But what I've seen is that it's being, you know, it's coming full circle.
Let's be clear what you're saying. You're talking about for people who are LGBTQ, hashtag, exclamation point, whatever the hell is out there. They think it's for them, but it's supposed to be for everybody.
Well, and I don't know if it's that they think it is, but it's become that.
So,
it wasn't intended.
Like thinking, you know, that, hey, if I go in there, he must be gay.
Okay, well, here's my thing. Are they the only ones that have problems?
No.
Okay. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like you think you're the only one?
Yeah.
You think you're the only one with PTSD because you had to come out to your family? You know, you think I don't have PTSD because I watched my friend lose his leg in front of me and he's on the floor and his bones are sticking out? You think I don't have it? Why are you more a victim than me? And that's how I look at it. And so I feel like the intention of the room, the safe space, the place to decompress, the place to not be judged, the place to feel like you can open up and you can process what's happening to you. That is the intention of that. When we turn it around and we go, well, only you qualify because you are whatever you are. Mm-hmm. And it, whatever that is, it doesn't have to be LGBTQ. It could be you're a Hispanic male with gray hair, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're this with that, you know. It isn't, that's not what they were created for. And so I think they have a use. I think they're a good use because mental health always had a stigma, always has a stigma. And it's difficult to be able to, that's the reality, yeah. is that we as a society, you know, have always seen mental illness as a weakness, mm-hmm. and it's not a weakness. No. We all go through shit. We all need to process stuff. Do. And so having a safe space that's good for everyone is what the idea was, or that was the intention. And now I've seen it come into being turned into a direction where it wasn't intended to go, mm-hmm. that it was supposed to be something for everyone. And mm-hmm. so I feel like, yes, those are good things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yes, being able to process that and having that, but the safe spaces, like I said, were for traditionally there. Now Google has mm-hmm. those pods and they let their people go and like you can sleep there. You can just at your lunch, you know, you can walk out and you can just clear your head, get some fresh air, something mm-hmm. like that. Whatever that is. And I think you get more productive employees if you have the ability to let them walk away. Like I don't often take a lunch, but I have some other people who work with me who are very specific. I have to get up and have to leave. I have 30 minutes. I'll be back within that window, but I will take my time and move from here because mm-hmm. a lot of us just sit at our desk and we're still working and I'm eating my sandwich and I'm still seeing patients and I need to learn to stop that. But I have been so busy because we've been shorthanded that I have neglected my own personal care. And for me, I sometimes need to go outside and I just need to take a few minutes and have a few minutes away from that desk and that phone and all of that trauma that I have to take on for everyone else that I'm treating. And so I think the concept is good. I don't know what the problem would be in an administrative location. Maybe they're trying to follow that Google mantra, but they are a college, which is traditionally left. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. Okay. Mm-hmm. And colleges, that's where these were invented. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I'm glad I asked you guys about it, you know, so I can hear your opinion and it's kind of, you know, made me open my eyes a little bit. And that's what this show's about, trying to get people to open their eyes. The way I first looked at it, because they were just being put in the administrative office, I'm like, why do they need cry rooms? I mean, so they could go in there because they like I said, got a paper cut, they stapled the wrong piece of paper. I mean, you know, are they, you know, upset because their monitor's not working? Let me go in here and cry for a little bit. You know, I thought it was silly. A good spot to put it would be, say, in dispatch or in the actual substations mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. Because as an officer, you see things, you know, at the school you don't see as much, but you see a lot of stuff. In my short time there, a little over 7 years, I saw a young girl jump off of a building. I saw a guy jump off of a 3-story building. Both of his ankles snapped. Did you ever see Misery when they hobbled him?
Oh, yes.
I saw his ankle snap like that, and of course he shit and pissed himself. I seen some nasty stuff. Guys having sex with each other till they bleed. I've seen some horrible stuff. So, yeah, sometimes it's good to have a place to just walk away.
I think I have PTSD now.
So it's good to walk away sometimes. And as a police officer, they teach you at the academy that sometimes you try, say you go to an accident, auto accident. You're not there to laugh, but sometimes you might accidentally break into a little laughter.
That was
It's just a release.
With the jumper.
See, a lot of people don't realize that in itself is a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a coping mechanism.
Yes.
That is a part of that natural defense so that they can cope with that.
So your mind can cope
with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I said I felt terrible because I laughed. Yeah. I laughed. Yeah. But, you know, and I didn't laugh in front of that. Like I said, mm-hmm. I was trying to be supportive of her and even the next day, and she asked them not to put her back there again because she was mm-hmm. so traumatized by mm-hmm. what she saw, right? And so, but for me, I was like, she just looked like a child. I actually did like a chalk outline when I was like describing it.
Like you see from a Mel Brooks movie or something.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so, but that morbid funniness mm-hmm. is because of that job.
Yeah.
Is mm-hmm. that's how you learn to deal with that job. Right? You have to have some sort of outlet. Sometimes it comes out in, you know, like that. You laugh at it. You have to laugh it off. We got to laugh it off. Because if you can't find a way to let that out, it gets worse, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It bottles up.
It's worse, yeah.
So we've been talking for, I guess...
a while, sorry.
Yeah, well, we've been talking for a little over hours now. And I just want to point out to everyone that this Glock has not come to life. Because I haven't gotten a phone call that said that it came to life. It started loading itself.
I know.
You know. I haven't seen it move.
Isn't that amazing?
And so for all the left-wingers, it hasn't come to life. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Guns don't kill people. It's just an instrument. Hammers. I mean, I bought a hammer. I have a claw hammer. It's actually pretty easy to kill someone with a claw hammer. But
actually, you're right.
Yes, it is.
You're right.
Very
easy.
It's happened quite often.
Yes. I have several claw hammers and
knife.
You know,
knife is very easy.
I don't have to lock up my claw hammers, but you know that's kind of weird.
That's
what
true.
About ball bat?
I got a couple. I don't know if y'all seen my big old knives up there. I mean, they're big old knives. You know.
Mm-hmm.
See, ball bat's pretty good too.
And they haven't come to life. I've been in a studio for a long time.
And they haven't accidentally stabbed you.
Haven't stabbed me.
Wow.
You know, sliced by them or anything like that. So.
Well, I don't know. I think it might be asleep. I don't know.
It,
or maybe
it
it's
be,
dead.
Could be resting.
I don't know.
Could be resting. So, but yeah, we've gone over a whole bunch of different subjects. We started off with the IRS sucks, and well, they do. The IRS
the
really
IRS
sucks.
Does suck.
They suck out loud.
Biden is taxing the shit out of the
Biden
American
sucks
public.
Biden sucks too.
To give our money to these illegals. He wants to hand our money to these illegals. And the only reason I can think of is because he's trying to secure his re-election.
Votes. Yes, it's
or
votes.
Re-election of his cronies.
Yes, yes.
So at our expense.
Watch, they said that he will reduce the cost, you know, the cost of gas and stuff is going to reflect the midterms,
mm-hmm.
right? He's got to give them something, some kind of hope. So if something's going to happen, you got to bring the cost of gasoline down a little bit.
See, the bad thing is he's draining the reserves.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and see, if he drains the reserves, then what's going to happen is something.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe to my channel, and I'll see you guys Monday.
Thanks for listening to The Uncensored Voice.
Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And remember, on The Uncensored Voice, we tell it like it is.
So be safe, my friends, and may God bless America.